So this evening, I'm supposed to introduce our speakers. We're going to have three speakers, and they're all from our Tuesday evening class. They're all very warm-hearted people with great messages, and I've really enjoyed getting to know each and every one of them, as well as you can know somebody in the dark. I know that sounds a little bit weird, but... We spend every night playing Twister. So anyway, our first speaker tonight hails from Greenville, North Carolina. She moved here a year ago, or in August of the last year, specifically to be closer to Millie. Millie used to travel across country, and I believe she did many circles with Jody and her friends. And the impact was so great for Jody that she chose to move out here. And in moving out here, she gained a whole new spiritual family, which is great.
Oh, there's my whole
pop. Oh, sorry. All right, well, moving on then. Jody is a woman of very few words. So everybody, let's welcome Jody up today. Yay, Jody.
Yes, so I joke, but that's pretty much it. I've known Millie, I think, 13 or 14 years. Can you hear me? Okay. 13 or 14 years. I have ways of going back to figure out exactly, but I met her when a friend called one time and said, "I'm going to a healing circle on Saturday night. Do you want to go?" And I said, "What's that?" And she said, "I don't know, it sounds cool." She said, "There's this minister coming from San Diego, and she's a medium, and she gives messages." So I said, "Okay, count me in." Well, if you've never experienced the circle outside of, like, the classes, Millie, what she does is she does touch-ins with everybody that she's never met before, just to kind of, I guess, I don't know, I kind of took it as this is her way of letting us know that she's, like, the real deal, right? And so she was going around the room doing touch-ins, and she was, I only knew the one person in the room, the one that invited me. I didn't know anybody else in the room. And this person I had met through a book discussion group. So we weren't really like good friends that knew a whole lot about each other. Millie was right on everything. She picked up things from my childhood. She saw where I lived. There was just so much that there was no denying she was the real deal. Well, I ended up in the center of one of the circles, and my friend Paige came through. This was in September. Millie would come every year in September. My friend Paige had passed away in July. And so I was pretty much already sold, but Paige came through. She had some messages. She wanted me to check on her kids, that type of thing. But the real power happened after I sat down. I sat down and I was against a wall, and Millie said, "Can anybody tell me why there's all these red carnations around Jody's head?" And I burst into tears. I told this 1,000 times, but the cemetery where Paige was buried was right around the corner from our house. My husband's family owned the funeral home in the cemetery, and I would drive past it at least 4 times a day as I was going in and out of town. And I always thought about taking Paige carnations. But I knew her kids picked little wildflowers out of their yard and stuck in a little vase, and I didn't think it was my place to take the flowers. And I had never told anyone. I never even told my husband, because I knew he would say, "Take the flowers. I'll just tell Robert next time I see him over there, it's no big deal." And I didn't want to argue with him about it because it didn't feel right to me. I had never told a living soul about these flowers. And so I burst into tears, and I shared that with Millie. And she said, "Well, honey, she has gotten them all because this wall is filled with red carnations." Millie often says, "You want to get to the point that you know that you know that you know that you know." And I knew at the very first time I met Millie that this was real. She would come every year in September, and I don't know who plans Millie's trips, if it's Millie or her travel advisor. They're not real big on planning ahead. So There's a Millie book that everybody in North Carolina who goes to the circles is in the book. And the ideal is that Lauren, the mutual friend, can send out notices that Millie's coming. She never gets enough notice to send them out. She calls and says, Millie's coming on Friday. And this is usually Tuesday. I rearranged vacations to be there to see Millie. I did whatever it took to make sure that I could be there for Millie. So in 2007, when my husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor, one of the first calls I made was to Millie. She said, honey, you know, the angels won't tell us what's coming. They'll just tell you that they're there for you. So Millie became real important in my life over the years. And in 2016, the weekend before my husband passed, I kept saying to him, as soon as you leave here, you have to find Millie and have her call me so I know you're okay. As soon as you leave here. If you've ever talked to Millie on the phone, you know, when she hangs up, she says, bye for now. That's what it was with my husband. It was bye for now, because I knew that he would find Millie and I would still get those messages. It took her 27 hours to call me. And she said, honey, he's been here for 24 hours. I just didn't know what to say. So for the next hour, she described my bedroom. I wiped my eye, and she said, did you just wipe your eye? I said, okay, now you're freaking me out. Because I know you're good, but I've never had a play-by-play like this. And so over the months, she, in the early days, she would call me like once a week. And then it got stretched out. In August of that year, I came here, and I spent almost 2 months bouncing back and forth between my mom's in Arizona and here to be with Millie. In March, I was with Millie at Troy's, and I said, you know, Millie, you make people, you bring out the best in people. You make people want to be the best version of themselves, and I need to move here because that's what I need in my life. I need to be here next to you. So I knew I had to be here by October to start classes. I started getting my house ready to sell. It sold in 12 days, and I got here in August. My goal was to come here to be close to Millie, to take the classes, and to be a part of the church. Never, I could have never dreamed I would get a family in the process. And that's what this is. This is a family. And we were laughing. We were like, what are we going to do on Tuesday? So we were making some plans. I text with Kilsey and Trish every day. We say the prayer of St. Francis, and we'll text each other and just say, done, just as a reminder, you know, that if you haven't done it, do it. Celeste, she's gone, but we still text with her every couple of days to check in. Josh, he's in Hawaii, but I still check in with him every week. You know, how you doing? Kimberly and Vince. And I mean, this is my family. And I never, ever could have imagined the transformation that would happen in my life by moving here and being a part of this family. So thank you, Millie, and thank you, all of you, for letting me be a part of this family.
It's a really wonderful story. It's a great story because it speaks to the intimacy, and it really speaks to the intimacy and the love vibration that Millie has created over 38 years in doing these classes. And I don't know who I was speaking to earlier. It might have been Jody. And I said, that's the amazing thing, is that when you go to these classes, you get to know people on a very intimate level because you see them in all their best and their frailties. And It's very nice to be safe when you're vulnerable. And that's an important thing, and probably very hard to find with a group of people that you don't really know too well. But you do get to know them very well. So thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Millie. I also have to say that whenever I call Millie, and Millie and I talk on the phone quite often, I'm also very careful as to where I'm at and what I'm looking at and what's on my computer, because she has pulled that on me often. What are you looking at? I see this color and it's like, no, you don't. The next person who I'm very happy to introduce is a young lady who... I think I just really got to know her this year more because of the Tuesday night classes. And she was very shy when she first started. And I want to say that she wouldn't say a lot, and she was kind of very timid in how she would start speaking. And then slowly, she actually became probably the person, one of the people who I respected the most out of the Tuesday night classes, because her heart is so huge. Her messages and everything was heartfelt, on point, with sincerity, in kindness, never to offend, always to create love and healing. Wow. You really wrapped it up, girl. She's such a sweetheart. And so she comes from a very far land called Mira Mesa. And she travels on a limousine called the 235 down Highway 15. It's big and red. You might see her every now and then. And that says a lot to take a bus here, you know, to come to class. We're so used to friends picking us up or having a car or this and that. And I know she works. And that shows the dedication of her heart that she doesn't want to miss. And she never complains about it. And she's always a lovely person. And that's our Bobby.
I'm not a public speaker typically, so I'm extremely nervous, so bear with me, guys. My voice may close up a little bit. Wow, Bill. Whew, okay. I am actually from Wichita, Kansas, and I moved here two or three years ago, and I moved here with my aunt, and about a year after moving here, I discovered this place. But I want to give you guys a little bit of piece of me before I get into that part. So, growing up, I actually had a really hard childhood. I was constantly surrounded by anger, fighting, just a lot of negativity all the time. And I never really learned how to receive love or feel love for myself, or how to feel love for others. I kept myself pretty distant and walled up a lot, and I had really rough relationships growing up my whole life. And I was in Tennessee when I received a call from family friend who I call my aunt, and she invited me to come to California with her. And so I agreed, and in exchange, I would watch her four children with her for her, that such thing. And well, she ended up developing a drinking problem, and all her responsibilities were put on my shoulders. And it got to be extremely overwhelming, and I got to be resentful, resentful for my past and resentful for my present and scared for my future. And I met a friend who recommended that I try this place out. And my first day here, I'll be honest, I had black eyeliner, black eyeshadow, my hair was like drawn in front of my face, black clothes. I was not very happy. And Millie just came and sat next to me, and she held my hand, and she welcomed me with open arms, open heart, and she accepted me right away, and I could feel that. And I never felt that before. And I never felt so much love from a complete stranger before either. In fact, I never felt that kind of love from anyone. And Louise, it's funny because Louise came up behind her and started rubbing her shoulders. Because everyone who knows Millie, she struggles a little bit with her back and little things, and we all do what we can to help her out, help her feel better, because she does a lot for everyone. And Louise also just opened her arms and heart to me as well. Didn't even know me, and now we're like family. And that's what I wanted to touch on, was this place gave me the family I never had and showed me how to love people and how to love myself. And I've learned so much, and all I can say is that, you know, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this church, for Millie, for all these wonderful people who just want to spread that love and expand it out further, because not enough of us get it sometimes. And I am so proud to be part of this church and to learn from such loving, kind people and receive love and guidance for people. And I just want to thank you all for coming and listening with open minds and open hearts to all of us here tonight. Thank you.
How can you not love her? How can you not? And, you know, that's a beautiful transformation, and tonight's theme is transformation. And she's transforming all the time. Very lovely. Thank you. The next gentleman touched your heart, didn't it? Beautiful. The next gentleman who I want to introduce has truly turned out to be an extraordinarily good friend of mine. And I love you. And we speak on the phone often. And we have a lot of breakfasts together, and sometimes lunches. And, you know, like all friendships, they start off with the superficial stuff in the beginning. And then you get to reveal each other's heart. And, you know, you get to know a person a little bit deeper. And you see their frailties and you see their strengths. And this gentleman holds me in place, and he kicks my butt. He loves me, but he kicks my butt. He is not afraid to confront me, and he's not afraid to tell me when I'm right or wrong. And he makes me answer very hard questions at times that most people will squirm away from. And I need a person like that in my life. And I admire him. I love you deeply, George. Deeply. Very honorable person. And so I want to introduce my really good friend, George Thorne.
Thank you, Bill. A couple of things. First of all, there's nothing that I will say that will match Bobby's words. We have watched her transformation over the year, and it's been truly extraordinary. And that is what I wanted to talk tonight about, is that is the theme of our class, is transformation. And I was thinking, this is my 10th year here. I like to tell people I'm in 10th grade, if that. And what I've witnessed, what I've seen is just extraordinary. The number of people like Bobby, like so many others, like myself, the transformation that we've all gone through. And at one level, what I wanted to briefly touch on tonight is, at one level, we think of this church in terms of mediumship and giving messages and class and watching all these things that happen, and it's also true. But the bigger question to me is, what's behind that? What is this really all about? Why are we really here? What? You know, Millie doesn't call her classes mediumship classes. She calls them spiritual development classes. And I think that's so important. So what does it mean to give a message or to receive a message? What does that mean? In my mind, it's very simple and so profound. And it's because we know that we are part of God. Millie likes to say that we're all bubbles of God, that we have these same qualities. And if you think about what that means, how can we possibly receive messages from Spirit if we're not part of spirit? How can we possibly give messages if we're not part of spirit? And over the years, over the 10 years that I've been coming, and I watched complete transformations in people, of which I 20 years ago, I didn't believe in God. Did not believe in God my whole life. Through a series of things that I went through, not the least of which is this church. You see evidence of God. You see it. You feel it. Otherwise, how could this happen? Although I do remember one time a couple years ago when Millery and a good friend, Mary G., were coming from a restaurant, and they took a different path, and they got lost. And I said, well, how did you possibly get lost? You guys are supposedly mediums. You ought to know, you know. But there's something, so we're all part of God, and there's a song that we sing in class that's very important to me, and I know to everyone who's experienced this song. And it goes like this. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. And we say those words, but do we really stop and think what they mean? Because it's everything. And I think this is the core of what this church is about. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. Now, I've done this before, and I'd like to do it again. I would like each of you to turn to the person next to you, and one of you is going to say it, and then the other one's going to say it to them. And I want you to look in the person's eyes. Don't be shy. This is very important. Don't be shy at all. And I'm going to say these words, and then you're going to repeat them to the other person, okay? The person on the right is going to say it to the person on the left, and then the person on the left is going to say it to the right, okay? I'll give you a second to get, don't be shy, this is very important, and I want you to look, when you do it, I want you to look in the other person's eyes. Okay, wait for me. Okay, I'm going to say it once, and then you guys say it to the person across from you. I feel the love of God in you, the light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. Okay, now it's the other person's turn. Say it again. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. So, if you think about it, I believe that is the essence of this church. One quick little story. As I say, I've been coming to Millie's class, and she knows I love her dearly. But one day, she and I ended up on the same flight together to Phoenix. I was going on business, and she was going to see her daughter. And she sat next to me. And the entire flight, the entire 55-minute flight, she channeled my mother. And at the end of her life, my mother and I weren't that close. And what this has done in my life, the love that it's given me, the renewed relationship, I have the greatest relationship in the world with my mother. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And I bless you, Millie. I bless you. So I'd like to close. I'd like to read you a poem that was given to me a couple of weeks ago. And I think it kind of says what this day is all about. And the title of it is How to Enjoy the Happiest Day of Your Life. We can do anything for one day. So just for today, let us be unafraid of life, unafraid of death, which is the shadow of life, unafraid to be happy, to enjoy the beautiful, to believe the best. Just for today, let us live one day only, forgetting yesterday and tomorrow, and not trying to solve the whole problem of life at once. Lincoln said that a man is just as happy as he makes up his mind to be. Suppose that we make up our minds to be happy just for today. To adjust ourselves to what is, our family, our business, our luck. To try to make the world over to suit us is a large order. If we cannot have what we like, maybe we can like what we have. So just for today, let us be agreeable, responsive, cheerful, charitable, be our best, dress our best, walk softly, praise people for what they do, not criticize them for what they cannot do, and if we find fault, let us forgive and forget, just for one day. Thank you very much.
I can't tell you how many times at Mimi's I've been so embarrassed having breakfast with George when the waitress comes up and we're both staring at each other going, I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. It's very romantic, but you have to leave a good tip after that one. What happens in Mimi's stays in Mimi's.